Rising very early, before dawn, Jesus went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Once upon a time, there was a man named Boudreau. And Boudreau lived here in Thibodaux. Boudreau was growing and getting older, and he'd been married for a little while. Boudreau had a few kids, and Boudreau was starting to take a little time just to be in quiet and think and reflect. And as Boudreau, who lived in Thibodaux, took some time to think and to reflect on his life, he said, "You know, a lot of things bother me. Like, things bother me more than they should. This doesn't happen to any of us in real life. But Boudreau said, you know, I get so aggravated when I drive on Canal Boulevard at noon. Boudreau said, I even start to get kind of mad when I see the lines along at Rouse's. That doesn't happen to any of us. But to Boudreau, in the fake story, that's what happened. And Boudreau started thinking some more. He spent some more time in quiet and he said, you know, I worry a lot. And sometimes I worry about important things, but I think I get too worked up in my worry. I worry about the economy. I worry about my kids. And, man, that just throws me for a loop when I start thinking about the economy, when I start thinking about my kids, when I start thinking about the future. I want to be more settled than that. I don't want to be able to be like thrown so off. I think about things like that. And then Boudreau kept thinking, and he said, God forbid if something like really bad would happen. God forbid if my wife would get sick. God forbid when my parents pass away. They're not going to be with us forever. Yo, I don't know, Boudreau said, if I can take it. I don't know what to do. So Boudreau was smart. He thought about who he knew that was steady. Thought about who he knew who, as far as he could tell, didn't get thrown off by little things like the traffic on Canal or the checkout line at Rouse's. He thought about who he knew who didn't get rattled when he thought about the future. He thought about who he knew who, if tragedy would strike, you know, I think he'd be okay. It would be hard, very hard. He'd be okay. And Boudreau, since he lived in Thibodaux, remembered that in Thibodaux, there is a group of men who have given their lives totally and completely to Jesus and have been here for like ever. And so Boudreau went to the house of the Brothers of the Sacred Heart. And he knocked on the door. And as Boudreau knocked on the door, Brother Pat came to the door and said, "Hey, Boudreau, how can I help you?" And Boudreau said to Brother Pat, "Brother Pat, I have this anxiety, I have this stress, I have this worry. I'm not solid. And I want to be more just solid. How you do that, Brother Pat?" And Brother Pat said to Boudreau, he said, "Well, Boudreau, it's easy. You just got to pray." Boudreau said, "Brother Pat, I don't know how you pray, but that don't happen when I pray." So Brother Pat said, "Come see." And Boudreau followed Brother Pat. He walked down the street and he crossed Highway 1. And Brother Pat, started wading in Bayou Lafourche. Boudreau said, "Well, I don't know about this. That's gross." But he said, "You know what? I want to be steady." So Boudreau followed Brother Pat down into Bayou Lafourche. And Brother Pat, he grabbed Boudreau by the head and in the water. 5 seconds. 10 seconds. 20 seconds. He took Boudreau out of the water. And as Boudreau took a deep breath, he dunked him back. 10 seconds. 20 seconds. 30 seconds. And he took Boudreau out of the water, and Boudreau, "Brother Pat, would you..." 20 seconds. 30 seconds. Brother Pat, what you doing? Brother Pat brought Boudreaux up the bank of Bayou Lafourche and looked him square in the eye and said, Boudreaux, when you realize that you need God more than you need to breathe, then you will start to pray. Boudreaux, Brother Pat said, when you begin to desire God more than you desire air to breathe, then you will pray. And as you go on this journey from where you are now, down the street, across Highway 1, into the bayou, as you go down this journey of desiring God more and more, as you walk this path of learning how much you need Him, then your life will get more level. It'll start with the little things, like traffic and rouses. And it'll get to the bigger things, and the bigger things, like the economy and your kids. And as you continue to walk this path of begging God every day for the grace to desire Him more than anything else, even if tragedy strikes, even Boudreaux, if your wife gets sick, even Boudreaux, the day when your parents pass away, you will be steady. It will be okay. It'll be hard. It will be difficult. You will probably cry many tears, because you should. But you will be steady, and it will be okay. Rising very early, before dawn, Jesus left, went off to a deserted place, and there He prayed. Jesus, in today's gospel, teaches us three things about that kind of prayer. Prayer that fosters a desire for God. Prayer that helps us to realize that we need God more than we need air to breathe. So three things. First, Jesus just did it. He went to pray. He carved out the time, whether it was convenient or in this case, inconvenient. Whether He had a lot of energy or like in this case, He was tired. And He rose very early in the morning. At other times, He stayed up very late at night. Because He knew that no matter what happened in His day, that no matter what distracted Him, that His time with God was the most important thing. That Jesus, in His sacred humanity, needed that particular time of communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is God. And if God Himself needs to go away to pray, then so too you and I, every day. Even when we're tired, even when it's inconvenient. Maybe this doesn't happen to you, but this happens to me. Sometimes I think, well, you know what? I'm not going to have as much time as I want to pray. Let's say I want to pray for an hour, but I've only got 30 minutes. So I do this foolish thing where I say, well, I'm not going to go pray at all, because I only got 30 minutes when I wanted an hour. No. No. Just go. It might be, I don't know how long Jesus stayed in prayer. For Him, it was usually a long time. For us, it might start with 5 minutes. Some days, it might be 20 minutes or an hour. Other days, it might be 10. But Jesus went off and prayed, even when He was tired, even when it was inconvenient. Second thing, He was alone. So we pray as a community, as a family, like right now, when we come to Mass, to liturgy, to public worship. And Jesus did that every Saturday. He would go to the synagogue, or for the feast days, He would go to the temple and He would pray with the community. There are some times where Jesus prayed like by Himself, more or less, to the Father in front of everybody else. Like when He raised Lazarus from the dead, or like when He taught His disciples the Our Father. And those things are all good, and those things are all important. But Jesus always took time alone with God. Jesus always took time by himself. Where he went, like he teaches us, he went into, quote, his inner room, where his Father, where our Father, who sees what is done in secret, will repay us. He took the time for alone intimacy with the Father. And last thing, Jesus was interruptible. Peter and those who were with him, they pursued him. They went go find him and said, Jesus, I know you're praying, but Jesus, everybody is looking for you. And so what does Jesus do? He gets up and he goes to the other towns. Now, I know none of you have ever tried to pray alone before. And like right when you sit down, one of your kids comes. That doesn't ever happen. But if it did, we could be tempted to say the same thing we said earlier. Well, I'm going to get interrupted, so I'm just not going to pray. Well, I might get interrupted, so I'm just not even going to try. But y'all, I can tell you, I can testify to you that when we try, that when we go to God, even though we might be interrupted, when we take our time in prayer, even if we thought we were going to be there for a half hour and we get after just 5 minutes, I can testify to you that God always provides an abundance of grace. Many of you, because many of you are parents, you're not monks, you're not nuns, but your duty is to live in the world, to sanctify the world. Your duty is first to your husband or to your wife, and second to your children. And so you take the time, you go sit down in prayer, and you've got, you know what, 20 minutes, let's say, carved out, and then the knock comes on the door, and one of your kids needs you. Well, what do? Well, you go be with your kids. And then you come back to pray at the next possible time. And God blesses that. Man, so often I'll sit down in my office or sit down in the chapel, and all of a sudden, like the phone rings. Somebody's sick. Father, somebody needs you. I've never regretted those times. Even when it was just 3 minutes of prayer. They have always, always been fruitful. Because they have always been, every moment, whether it's in the morning or late at night, whether it's interrupted or not, all of those moments have been little times of communion with God. All of those moments have been little times of me realizing that I need God. And that might be the biggest secret of prayer. That might be the biggest thing that you and I learn when we take the time to sit with the Lord alone. That we really often just try to do all this by ourselves. That we, like Boudreaux in the story, we worry and we get aggravated because we think it all depends on us. But when we take that little bit of time, morning, night, interrupted or not, to say, Lord, I need you. And Lord, I want to trust that you are going to provide. Well, then everything changes. Then little things tend not to bother us. Then big things, though they hurt, are okay. We walk through them. And then we have that steadiness which we desire. So y'all, Lent is coming. Lent starts in a week and a half. And I don't know what your usual Lenten penance is. I don't know if you've thought and prayed about your Lenten penance yet or not. But today I want to give all of us a criterion for discerning your Lenten penance. If your Lenten penance helps you to recognize your need for God, If my Lenten penance helps me to recognize my need for God and to desire Him more, then it's a good Lenten penance. Do that. And if the Lenten penance that I'm thinking of doesn't help me to realize that I need God more than I need air to breathe, then I need to pray about another Lenten penance. I'm not saying that by the end of Lent, we're all going to be saints. But I'm saying that the point of our Lenten penance is to help us walk in that direction. So Jesus, rising very early before dawn, went off to a deserted place where He prayed. Might we have the courage, have the diligence to take time with Him and to desire Him more than we desire air to breathe.